You're listening to All the Best. We tell stories about Australia from all over Australia. I'm Belinda Lopez, and this week we're staying out on the ledge beyond the comfort zone. We're crossing all kinds of comfort zones, geographical, psychological, and very, very personal. I just came back from Jakarta in Indonesia, which definitely isn't beyond my comfort zone. I used to live there and I love the city. But if you've paid attention to any kind of international media at all recently, you might have noticed that the city has had a tiny bit of a flooding problem. It's pretty serious. Over 100,000 people have been left homeless. At least 20 people are believed to have died as a result. And the floods hit Jakarta just as I was visiting the city. I was hanging out with my friend Ade Martiati. She's an Indonesian journalist, and we were both on holidays. But we had our recording gear and our cameras, and we both find it hard to stop working. But we weren't actually doing journalism. It was more like some kind of disaster tourism. And I don't know if Ade and I are going to come across as despicable human beings, but what I do know is that we went out looking for victims of the floods. But the people that we found were so much more than that.
Part of this building is a mosque, and also I think it's also a place where they study the Quran. This is also where the people go to for to save themselves from the floods. Let's just go in there.
Can I go in? Can you go in with shorts?
It's emergency.
So we're going into the mosque. It's full of people, huh?
Yeah.
So these people, homes have been flooded.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is where they are taken to. These people, they probably live in the area in river banks and nearby, and this is where they are taken. Let's talk to this lady.
Ibu siapa?
Ibu Rokaya.
Ibu Rokaya.
Yeah. 3 hari saya nggak nyalin, dikasih ibu, dikasih baju.
Three days hasn't changed.
Yeah.
And everyone is going crazy now because they're handing out food. Hello. Can you tell me why you're here? Why are you here? Sorry, what's your name first? Do you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Afe. I am here because actually my grandfather built this mosque. So I came here as volunteer to help the refugee flooded from the Kampung Melayu.
When did you start volunteering?
Actually, it's starting since yesterday when the refugee come above 1,000 people. And it keeps growing because the water from Bogor is still coming to Jakarta, and we still have to cope with this disaster. And you have to know, this is not the first time for us to help the refugee, because in 2007 we also helped the refugee.
Yeah, I was here when those floods happened, and I remember it was crazy.
Okay, what do you do for a living? Why you are coming to Jakarta often?
Just because it interests me, yeah. How do you think these people feel that these floods keep happening and they, like, you know, every year or every couple of years they have to end up here?
If I were them, then I will move from to another city. But when I ask them, I a little surprised because they answer that it just only happened 5 days in a year, so it's no problem for us. Really, I mean it, because you can ask them by yourself. So it's not problem for them, because it's like their habit. They already adjust with this condition, so it's no problem for them.
It's like people in other countries that live in a hurricane area or something, you know, that people in other countries that live in a hurricane area as well, that maybe they don't move.
Yeah, and they already know when they have to move or not.
What did you think?
Just suffocated with the cigarette smokes inside the shelter. Can't imagine the babies are there and, you know, little children are there and fighting for food.
Yeah, there was just that big rush of the
crowd. Did you see a little girl? She was bitten by this woman, Because they were like fighting for food.
She was bitten?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
And the little girl just cried out loud, of course. They were somehow like fighting over the biscuits. Oh, look at that.
Wow.
There's the river in front of us.
It's just people are wading through it in the sea. The road has turned into a river. And these are the life rafts, right? They swim down the streets, float down the streets.
Ini nyebrang.
Iya, nyebrang yuk.
Gimana tuh? Iya.
Kita bayar apa? Yeah, we're in a human wheelbarrow and they're about to cross us over.
We pay 5,000 each.
Yeah, so one Australian dollar.
So they're actually giving us a way to cross this flood.
The road river.
So this actually, I feel like they have created
an industry
here. Tourism, the flood tourism.
This is like Venice, except the water.
So we have
the
gondola. We have two gondola men.
There's a woman with an iPad taking a photo of the river.
Oh, water!
It's filling up in the wheelbarrow.
Water is filling up the.
It's really filling up in the cart.
I can see cockroaches.
Garatus.
Oh my god, look at that.
Oh, we're nearly underwater. I think we're actually going to go in, Ade. I think this is inevitable that we're going in.
Oh
the
my god,
sewage
I'm not
river.
Sure if we have actually.
I'm so sick.
And you know what? I'm really scared at the moment because I can't swim, Belle.
I can't
swim, and okay. I'm actually afraid of water.
No, you'll be fine. You can go on my back.
Look at that. Children are jumping off the.
This is like a fun park, a sewage water fun park.
This is amazing. Like, children, they don't look sad at all. They look really joyful. Like they're really enjoying this sudden water park the neighborhood
has. There are just hundreds of people divided on the other side of the road river.
The residential area is just there.
Maybe we should check it out and then come back.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Cockroaches.
And now on the other side it's dry again and there's little girls going to school in their school uniform.
Oh right, yeah.
Actually my skin is starting to feel really itchy.
Oh really?
Yeah. Should buy aqua and wash them. It's okay. But I'm just thinking about these kids that are playing in this water. If my feet are feeling itchy, what?
Yeah.
They're like soaking wet.
Yeah.
And the water is like
he's
cafe
shivering.
Latte. Yeah. Yeah, he's absolutely shivering, this kid. I think I have a cockroach in my shoe.
Do you want to take off his shoes?
It's alright, I'll just disembowel it with my toes. Alright, let's go.
Let's go! Come on!
Watch out for the cockroaches.
Yeah, okay.
We have a bunch of like teenage guys dragging us across the river in another wheelbarrow.
They've created cameras.
Are they afraid they've got a fake camera? These guys have made a camera, some kind of comment on the media. They've got a cardboard box and an aqua bottle as its lens. I think they're making some kind of comment about the amount of media that have come to the flood. Turning around the lens. Why don't we take a ride with teenage boys?
We're almost there, Belle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, not fun as if like...
As if you're having fun off the suffering of others,
yeah.
Ade.
It's just, you know, you never expected this to happen in your life.
Yeah.
That was Ade Matiati with me in Jakarta, Indonesia. You can check out a few pictures Ade took in the floods on our website, allthebestradio.com. You're listening to All the Best. I'm Belinda Lopez. More stories beyond the comfort zone. All the Best contributor Carly-Ann Keneally was really close to her grandmother, her Nan, growing up, but she hadn't seen her for the last 5 years. 5 years. The thing is, her Nan has Alzheimer's and is now in a care home, and the idea of seeing her in this advanced state was pretty painful. But Carly finally decided that it was time. Here's her story.
Desmond Hennessy Keneally was my grandfather. He died in the house that he and my grandma raised 8 children in. He lived alone, still cooking and cleaning for himself and the occasional visitor. He was always busy in the garden and a devout member of the church. My pop, my mother's father, was a lot younger. He had a heart attack. He was a garage door repairman by day and artist by night. He decorated cakes, created stained glass windows, and built rocking horses and dollhouses from raw wood in his shed. Grandma, a mother of 8 and active volunteer at the local church, was a kind, warm and strong woman. I was only 5, but I still remember making apple pies together in the kitchen with the apples her and Grandpa grew in their backyard. We played Spot the Difference from the Sunday paper, and I'll always remember her smile behind those oversized, slightly tinted 80s-style glasses. My grandparents, like many grandparents, influenced so many aspects of my life. They inspired me to cook, along with my parents enforced manners and discipline, and in school holidays took my brother and I on special adventures like the movies, time zone, and bowling. 3 of my grandparents died when their quality of life was like many of ours. They were able to drive, cook, and socialise within their communities. We all thought they were too young. But what happens when your mind passes on before your body?
Alzheimer's is a disease that affects initially your brain. They have identified what it is, but at this stage there isn't any indication of what might cause it. It affects your cognitive ability, your memory, can affect your personality. Often it's the small changes that you notice initially, that someone just is a little bit different to how they normally are.
That was Helen Carswell. She's the senior counsellor at the Alzheimer's Foundation in Sydney. The Alzheimer's Foundation offers support to carers and family members of people with Alzheimer's. My Nan, my mother's mother, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's when she was just 64, 2 months after my pop passed away. It wasn't until she was alone for the first time in 60 years that we noticed how forgetful she had become.
A very common symptom is losing short-term memory. It can affect personality. It can make somebody very easygoing who was possibly aggressive or vice versa. It might make no difference. They're the same person. So it's one of those things where you just have to wait and see.
Nan had been seen by the neighbours walking Scamp the dog for what must have been hourly walks throughout the day. Every day. Usually by the end of the day, Scamp was seen physically unable to walk from what must have been his 4th, 5th, possibly 6th walk that day. We realised she was not okay. Mum found mounters of macadamia nuts in Nan's pantry one day. But Nan never really ate nuts. So Mum and her brother put on their detective hats and went to the local Coles. They knew Nan. They knew her well. She had lived around the corner for over 30 years. She was at the shops most days picking up groceries for the family meals she loved to cook. But lately she had begun to steal.
One of the most common things that people present with having a dementia is either calling you a thief or stealing. People can lose a concept of what money is, what money means in society. So that example of stealing might be simply because that person has lost a connection between what money is and what an object is, and that you have to pay for this. You can't just pick it off the shelf and go home with it.
Known to the people in the neighbourhood as the Cake Lady, each week with her Nana-style Jeep and Scamp the Dog, she door-knocked the homes of bachelors, sharehouses and families, providing them with their weekly fixes of strawberry slices, chopped chip cookies and yo-yos. I loved the week she made lemon slice, slightly sour and not too sweet,
should ever get caught with your hand up in the cookie jar.
But we started to become worried about her safety.
Because more and more people are living alone, if they don't have someone there to remind them, some of the safety factors become an issue. So there could be things like leaving stoves on, forgetting to turn off things, leaving taps running, having falls for older people tends to be a bit of an issue.
Just like that, after 40 years of looking after herself and raising a family, Nan was no longer safe to be left alone.
I miss our conversation, but we don't say a thing.
Especially in places that look after Alzheimer's patients. They'd always have recreational activities officers. Their job would basically be to hone in on what the hobbies and interests are of the patients at their facilities, then work that into the activities program at the hostel or the home. The patients may not sort of get up and think, hey, I really like lawn bowls as a hobby, and going and doing it, it'll be set out there for them. So when they're actually doing it, then they can sort of realise that they enjoy doing that.
Taylor works with patients that have Alzheimer's. He explains that by simply prompting and guiding the patients, while it won't prolong the effects of Alzheimer's, it means rather than sitting around all day, they are active and still socialising in a monitored and safe environment. It seemed unfair that she move in with us or my uncle and auntie's family. Everyone was working and raising a family. She would be in the same situation, just in a different house. Providing activities like aqua aerobics, lawn bowls and painting, it was clear Nan was going to be better off in a home.
Really, really bad, or she's just going to be bad. So, like, the last couple of times I've gone...
On my holidays, I went back to Melbourne from Sydney for a week. It had been almost 5 years since my last visit. My mum and brother are preparing me for the worst.
We'd look at her and she'd just look at us in fear as though we were going to hurt her. And she just looked the other way the whole time. So she just really just, it was the most, it was horrible. It was really horrible to see her so scared.
Last time we went was last Christmas. That's the last time I went anyway. Well, she just sat in the chair. She didn't even say yes or no. I think she nodded maybe twice.
Of course you do, his mother insisted. We always say a prayer before eating at our house. That's at our house, said Johnny. This is Grandma's house and she knows how to cook.
I like that.
Walking through the security doors, I instantly feel uneasy. The nurses are lovely and greet you with a warm smile. Flowers brought by visitors surround the communal areas, and family members are talking about what they are doing for Christmas. Looking at Nan and the other residents, it's hard not to stare and feel pity. These once able-bodied people are restricted to their wheelchairs, waiting out their days together.
Been having fun?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah? What have you been up to here?
Have you been making hats for Christmas? Some hats, or did you make some bonbons? You know, you bake bonbons and you go, make some bonbons?
That'd be good.
Yeah, some bonbons would be fun.
You're going to have a big Christmas lunch here?
Who?
Are you going to have a big Christmas lunch?
This conversation went on for a while, as she was staring into the distance, looking completely unaware of the world around her. We began to sing Christmas carols, Itsy Witsy Spider and children's songs. She knew some words, but hummed along knowing the melody perfectly.
Down came the rain. You want to sing that?
Yes.
Saw Itsy out. Up come the sunshine. Come on, you know this one. Dried up all the rain. So Itsy Witsy Spider.
You have to think outside the box because their reality will be different from yours. A lot of what happens is they tend to live in their memories. So that she could possibly be living in the past.
It is reassuring to think Nan may be living in her memories. It has made me realise how important it is to create lasting memories now. By the time the disease has become quite advanced, it's harder and more emotional for us that are watching from the outside. For the past 8 years, I have associated Nan with Alzheimer's and forgotten many of the things that defined the lady she was. On Mum's most recent visit to Sydney, we decided to celebrate the lady she was before the Alzheimer's took over her mind. Our Friday night began with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Saturday was a trip to the movies to watch one of theatre's most famous productions, Les Mis. And Saturday afternoon consisted of high tea at the Victoria Rooms in Darlinghurst. Over glasses of champagne and not too much tea, we laughed, ate and drank, remembering Nan for the lady she was. I no longer look at Nan as the lady I pity, but the wife, mother and grandmother, whose passion for arts and craft, baking and love for the theatre has assisted in defining not just me, but my mother, my brother and our entire family. And that's something that Alzheimer's can never change.
That was Carly Ann Keneally, and her story placed second in the Summer Story Challenge. We were looking for the best documentaries that our contributors could produce over the summer. The first place winners were Linda DeLacy and Abigail C. with their story Grief. If you tuned in last week, you would have heard it. If you haven't heard it, I think that you should go to the website right now, not right now, after the show, and listen to it. It is beautiful. Allthebestradio.com. Just go, but not yet. Because next we have a letter for you. It's a letter from a 24-year-old woman. She's being detained on Manus Island in Papua New Guinea. She is an asylum seeker from Afghanistan.
I am a 24-year-old woman from Afghanistan. I used to live in a place where women had it very hard. If only a centimetre of our body was shown in public, we would be persecuted. I had difficulties studying or going to school, as study is considered a crime for a woman. I wasn't even allowed to leave my home alone. A man from my own blood or my husband would have to accompany me. If I became sick, only a female physician could check me out, and a man would never be allowed to do this for a woman. In Afghanistan, women don't even have the right to choose their own husband. Afghanistan is like a state of ghosts. No woman has the right to have a voice. I had no security and safety for my life, and now I have tried to escape from all that. I was thinking that I would come to Australia where the rights of women would be defended properly, but they have brought me here. I was even forced to leave my little girl behind in the harsh situation and unsafe environment of Afghanistan. I did all this in search of peace and security for her, but now even my own situation is floating in the air. I don't know what's going to happen for me. I'm very worried about my little girl and I miss her a lot. I ask you please, if you are a woman and a mother, if you can feel my emotions, please help me to be able to see my daughter once more. I would love to be able to give her a big hug and start a new life with her away from the danger and insecurity of Afghanistan.
That letter was read for us by Heidi Pett, sound design by Sonia DeKeehan. It was supplied to us by news website New Matilda, which has collected a number of letters written by women being detained on Manus Island from Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Iran with translation assistance. Honestly, these letters just cut through the news headlines and the political sound bites. You can read them for yourself on the New Matilda website. There's a link to it on ours or thebestradio.com. That's it for the show. If you liked it, spread the word, tell your friends, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. All the Best is produced at FBI Radio Sydney in association with SYN in Melbourne. Our show is played across Australia on the Community Radio Network and is made possible by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Today's show was produced by Sonia DeKeehan and our production manager, Carly Ann Keneally. I'm the features executive producer of the program, and our executive producer is Giordano Caputo. Thanks for listening. To take us out, we've got Beth Orton, Comfort of Strangers. See you next week.
not sure, should I just say it out loud? Say what you mean, don't tell it like it could be. Or at this time I'm gonna keep that in mind. One love is better than not enough. I'd rather have no love than messing with the wrong stuff. It's just a comfort of a stranger. Always a comfort of strangers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know the sun that shines on me on better times than you or I may ever be. I know there's an answer to the question, but I'm not sure that I should word it right. Say what you mean, don't tell it like it could be. Every time you're gonna set me free. Say what you mean, don't tell it like it could be. Or at this time it's taking right home. Always the comfort of strangers. Wow, some of those.